Principal Rugs. Please be seated.
Yes, Mr. Hickey.
Thank you, Commissioner. So, Ms. Quartermaine, have you had the opportunity across the break to refresh your memory about that email chain?
Yes.
And so can I ask you then again in respect of that email that's on the screen, isn't it the case that that second sentence was really calculated to undermine Cathy in the eyes of your team?
No.
You could, for instance, have simply forwarded the response from Cathy.
I could have.
You could simply have said, I don't think this answers my original question. I'm going to send her a follow-up.
I could have.
But instead you wrote that, and I suggest to you that it was intended to imply something negative about Cathy Allen to the team.
It wasn't. It was, there was an email prior to this, which was not part of this email chain, where I asked Cathy a particular question about that, and I hadn't had a direct response yet because apparently she had to look into it further with respect to percentage of staff required to be available at that particular time. So I hadn't had a response to that, but I read from what I said was maybe in maybe my reply email to her email will bring it back to the original question. So maybe my reply to the email that she has sent me, I'll bring that back up so we can see if we can get an answer.
Can I suggest to you, Ms. Quartermaine, that that's simply not true?
No, well, you can suggest it, but I there's no ill intention there with respect to what you're suggesting around how I'm trying to portray Cathy. There's nothing like that there.
All right. Can we scroll then up the chain, please? Stop there, please, Mr. Operator. And then you here's your response to Cathy.
Yes.
And we see in the third last line of the first paragraph, you tell her that this issue has caused somewhat of a divide between departments as we all try to work out where the bottleneck is and where the bulk of the outstanding work actually sits. And then you ask her for something. Are you able to provide some clarification around this to everyone? Now, you felt perfectly comfortable, didn't you, in writing that to Cathy to communicate to her your concern that there was a division between departments within the team?
I felt that it was necessary to bring it up with her so that she was aware.
And if we scroll up a little bit further, we see you then forwarding the email that you had just sent to Cathy to the rest of the team, keeping them all in the loop, presumably.
Yes.
And then if we scroll up a little bit further, stop there, please, Mr. Operator, we see Cathy's response to that email of yours. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
And what she opens by saying is, thanks for your feedback. It's really appreciated. That didn't make you feel like your suggestion was unwelcome, did it?
What suggestion are you referring to?
The contents of your previous email where you suggested to her that there had been a divide between the departments as they all try to work out where the bottleneck is. Are you able to provide some clarification around this to everyone?
Yeah.
So you agree she was grateful for that suggestion, don't you?
She says that it's appreciated. But from memory, I don't remember her like sorry, I just want to read this part of the email again. Okay, so she's saying that if there's talk of divide between teams, perhaps approach your line manager or team leader to discuss.
I'll come to that. There's nothing in this email, is there, when you received it in December 2020, which caused you to think that Cathy Allen was not receptive to the contents of your earlier email?
No.
There's nothing in this email, as you sit and look at it now, which suggests that your questions were not welcome?
No.
There's nothing about this email that suggests that by raising these questions, it was likely that you might have a target on your back?
As I said to you earlier, it's not every single thing that I've brought up over time with management that.
Could you answer my question, please? There's nothing in this email.
The email did not make me feel like I had a target on my back.
Thank you. And so then we go on to the second paragraph. And she acknowledges what you've raised in the earlier email. If staff feel that there are issues between teams, that was the gist of what you were raising, wasn't it?
Yes.
So she's identified correctly the very problem that you had raised with her?
Yes.
And then she goes on to say, it would be great if they could highlight this to their line manager so that each team can discuss it. So can I suggest to you that in response to the issue you had raised, she'd turned her mind to it and proffered you a suggestion?
Yes.
You didn't consider that was unacceptable?
No.
You didn't suggest to her at any time after you considered that was unacceptable?
No.
All right. And you'd agree now, wouldn't you, that that's an entirely appropriate way to deal with the issue that you had raised?
Yes.
You never told Cathy Allen that you had raised this issue, you personally, with your line manager?
I don't remember whether I discussed this with my line manager or not. I would have thought I did, but I don't remember.
But in any event, you didn't say to Cathy, I don't think that's an appropriate way to solve this problem.
No.
And so you'd agree, wouldn't you, that unless you told her that, if that indeed was your view, she could never know that.
Did I say that was, what do you mean that was my view?
The only way Cathy Allen could know what you were feeling was if you told her.
With respect to the team?
The divisiveness in the team and her proposed response.
Yes, yes.
All right. Can we scroll, please, to the top of that page, Mr. Operator? That's it. Thank you. And so here we have your forwarding Cathy's response to the rest of the team. Now, it's not clear when Cathy responded to you, but it's, can I suggest, sometime between the 3rd of December at 2:15 p.m. We see that at the bottom of the page. If we scroll down, please, Mr. Operator. There, that's your email to Cathy. And then the next email from you, we see at the top of the page, is the next morning at 6:45 a.m. So would you agree with me that Cathy must have emailed you sometime between those two times?
Yes.
So she didn't leave you waiting for a response?
No.
She was prompt in dealing with and acknowledging your concerns?
Yes.
All right. And then we see your forwarding to the team here at 6:45 a.m. on the 4th of December. In the second paragraph, we see you say, please see below for the response I received from Cathy. I don't feel as though any of my questions, suggestions were actually addressed, but it is a response nonetheless.
Yes.
Now, again, that's a snide remark, can I suggest to you?
It's not. I often ask questions in emails like this and I don't feel like I get an answer.
Wouldn't you agree with me that a woman as experienced and as intelligent as you ought to have solved this particular problem by putting it directly to Cathy Allen rather than by complaining about Cathy's response?
Which particular problem?
The fact that Cathy Allen did not actually address any of Ms. Quatermain's questions, suggestions.
I don't believe my email there is just referring to the immediate email. I believe it would be referring to things that the chain of emails has addressed, that thread of emails, not just that one.
At no time since the 4th of December 2020 until today have you brought to Cathy Allen's attention that this was not satisfactorily resolved in your mind?
No, I feel like over time it's resolved itself. It resolved itself for a period of time with respect to outstanding samples and bottlenecks. So it wasn't anything that really needed any further action.
And yet you saw fit to include this as evidence relevant to profit of the commission.
This was part of an email chain, and as anyone would know, email threads can go on and on and on. I was trying to keep the things that were relevant to the commission that are in the email chain and provide what I thought was relevant. There's probably emails after these and emails before this.
All right. Could we go then, please, to Exhibit AQ06 to Ms. Quatermain's first statement? Mr. Operator, it's WIT.0012.0026.0069. I think you've been taken to this email already today. Could we start, please, by zooming in at the bottom of that page, Mr. Operator? Our pages are different. In any event, scroll in at the bottom of that page, please, where the header is. So here's the email that you send on the 29th of April, 2021. The subject is DNA insufficient for further processing. If we scroll on, please, Mr. Operator. Regrettably, this is a little bit illegible. Do you have a copy in front of you there?
I can find it.
It's all right. I could probably deal with it in any event. Can you see that in the second paragraph there, in the end of the second line, you say you strongly feel that we should be processing a lot of these samples these days, especially ones that may have a quant value close to the cutoff range? Do you agree that's what that says?
Yes.
And this is in the context of your having made reference to the fact that the piece of equipment called 3500 had been brought into action?
Yes.
All right, so that's your email at 3:52 on the 29th. If we scroll up, please, Mr. Operator, and stop there and zoom in on that email, please. Here we see, first thing the next morning, Mr. Howes responds to you. And he says, "Hi, happy for you to come and talk about this. It seems there are some things that require further clarification. I'm available most of the day."
Yes.
Now, you'd agree with me, there's nothing in that correspondence which evinces an unwillingness on the part of Mr. Howes to entertain your concern?
No, he seems willing to have a chat.
He encouraged you to have a chat, didn't he?
Yes.
And indeed, that's what you did.
I did.
You didn't feel as a consequence of that exchange and indeed the chat that you had a target on your back?
No.
There wasn't anything that Mr. Howes did that made you feel that way?
No.
Can I suggest to you then, Ms. Quatermain, that at least in respect of Mr. Howes and Ms. Allen, that any perception you may have that by challenging or asking them questions about decisions they had taken would lead to your having a target on your back was simply not founded in reality?
Not with respect to the scientific things that you're bringing up, but there are other things that have happened over time that are not related to the science that have made me feel that way.
So your concerns really aren't they, about the non-scientific stuff?
When you mention about me feeling as though I have a target on my back, that's related to non-scientific stuff.
And there's nothing that either Mr. Howes or Ms. Allen has ever done to lead you to conclude that in respect of the scientific stuff, you have a target on your back?
No.
Thank you. Now, could we go then, please, to Ms. Quatermain's second statement at paragraph 17,3. Thank you, Mr. Operator. So that's the first sentence I've been dealing with. Then I want to ask you some questions about what you say in the next sentence. There's a very high level of control over employees that makes us feel like we're not trusted. Now, who is it that you say exercises this very high level of control?
Kathy.
Thank you. And what in particular is it that you point to, if anything other than the examples that you've given about the stationery cupboard, the working hours, flexible work arrangements, calling in sick, that kind of thing? What else, if anything, do you point to as evidence of that very high level of control over employees that you say Ms. Allen exercises?
Well, they're the things that affect me directly and significantly. So I'm sure there are other things, and if you'd like me to go away and think about it and come back to you, I can, but they're the things that come to mind, were coming to mind when I wrote this statement.
All right. Would you agree with me that those are, again, the non-scientific stuff rather than the scientific stuff?
It's not the science, but, for example, my flexible work arrangement and allowing me to be able to work full-time versus part-time does have an impact on the scientific output of my department.
Right. Now, could I ask you this? You say, when you say very high level of control, compared with what?
Well, compared with, for example, the police services stream consists of forensic DNA and forensic chemistry. And as far as I'm aware, forensic chemistry don't have any rules as to when they, like specific hours that they need to call in sick. They don't have locked stationery cupboards. So compared to the other department under Kathy's managing scientist, under her as the managing scientist.
I don't understand the calling in sick point. You said you had to call in sick between 8 and 9.
That's correct.
If you're sick and taking the day off. What happens if you call in at 9:30?
We'll probably get an email the next day reminding us to call in between 8 and 9.
And who do you call between 8 and 9?
Our admin department in forensic DNA.
Right. Thank you.
What's the problem with receiving an email the next day reminding you to follow procedure?
I just don't understand why the strict between 8 and 9 needs to exist when it doesn't exist for other departments. If someone has had a bad night with sick children and falls to sleep and wakes up at 9:30, calls in sick to look after their children, I don't feel like that's the type of thing that they should be worried and stressed about, calling in 30 minutes late when they've got sick children at home.
You've never suggested to Ms. Allen that you felt stressed or anxious about having sick children and having to call in late because of that, have you?
I hardly even see Kathy, let alone speak to her.
And similarly, you've never had that kind of exchange with Mr. House?
I don't call in sick to Justin, I call in sick to admin.
All right. You don't know, do you, whether that particular procedure has been foisted upon you by admin as distinct from Ms. Allen?
I don't recall a specific discussion, but I know there has been a discussion that I was in, because I remember it being said that that was a rule that Kathy had brought in. Now, I don't remember when it was. I just remember hearing those words from one of the admin staff.
Can I suggest to you that it's really entirely unreasonable to compare what the administrative arrangements might be in the FSS laboratory with the administrative arrangements that might exist in a separate work group within an entirely discrete department?
I don't really know what you're asking. Sorry, can you ask me again?
Yes. Assume that the FSS lab is an apple. And assume that the QPS lab is a pear. It's not appropriate to...
No, that's not a question. Question, Mr. Hickey. I know what you're getting at, but really that's not a question. If she assumes that one is an apple and one's a pear, of course it's not right to compare, but that doesn't help me.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now, the other point you make is stationary. That was one of the other things that you raised as being...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Hickey, and there's no pressure on you. We can keep going if you want to, but we can also adjourn.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry, Commissioner, I hadn't noticed
the time. You needn't apologise. It takes as long as it takes.
I've still got...
A little way to go.
Quite a way to go.
All right, well, we'll adjourn till tomorrow then.
Thank you.
Thank you. You'll have to come back tomorrow, Mr. Waterman.